Hello there, everyone. I'm Rob, a producer on the Black Crunch Talking News, and this week's edition is for the 26th of January, 2022.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Crunch Talking News, brought to you by sightloss charity Beacon Centre. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. All you need to do is say, "Alexa, play Black Crunch Talking News." Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods: calling 01902 213 210, visiting our website www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by simply searching Beacon Black Country Talking News and hitting the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Simon. Speaking for us this week, we have myself, Rob, Mina, Craig, Helen, Angela, Christine, Ed, Liz, Ian, Jean, Alistair, and, of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country. We have the quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, the weather, a 10-day workout, an article about employment with visual impairment, information about mental health well-being, and rounding all that off, we have Craig's fact book. However, we start this week with our guess the sound question. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you've got to simply do is guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and Mina will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. We have now then, as always, some local news, brought to us by Angela, Ed, Liz, Ian, and first up, it's Christine.
Police forces in the region have handed out almost 6,000 fines for breaches of virus-related laws since the start of the pandemic. The figures were released as human rights campaigners claim communities have been subjected to disproportionate and harmful policing, while staff at No. 10 Downing Street have been attending drinks parties. The latest statistics published by the National Police Chiefs Council shows 3,924 fixed penalty notices were issued by West Midlands Police between March 27, 2020 and December 19th last year, while 1,930 fixed penalty notices were issued by Staffordshire Police. The West Midlands Force recorded 95 tickets from May 17, 2021, when different households were allowed to mix indoors for the first time, and four were issued in neighbouring Staffordshire. Of the notices issued so far for holding a gathering of more than 30 people, 24 were issued in the West Midlands and just one in Staffordshire. Police were given the powers to fine people up to £10,000 for breaking rules. Fines for not wearing a mask were £200, which was halved to £100 if paid within 14 days. Chief Inspector Donna Harvey of Staffordshire Police said, "All of our resources have worked consistently throughout this challenging pandemic to assist and advise members of the public of the rules to prevent the spread of coronavirus. We have been extremely pleased with the majority of our community's responses to this, and this is reflected in the number of COVID tickets we have issued. Some forces have revised their total number of fines, while others have issued hundreds. Notices can be rescinded following a review or cancelled altogether if multiple were issued in error, leading to some areas seeing a fall in the number of fines over time."
Around £84 million worth of cannabis was seized from more than 250 drugs farms in the region last year. The figure has been revealed by West Midlands Police, who say they are continuing to strike against organised crime gangs believed to be behind most of the cannabis factories. Detective Chief Inspector Nick Dale from the force's Serious Organized Crime and Exploitation team said, "We're not talking about some recreational drug use here. This is top-level organized criminality, linked to exploitation and violence. The cannabis factories can be in industrial units or disused factories, but often we find them in residential streets surrounded by family homes or even near schools. They are a magnet for antisocial behavior and crime. Increasingly, people are getting fed up with being blighted by these drug factories and are calling us with information. That's helping us uncover more and more illegal premises and damaging the revenue-making streams for crime gangs." Police said many of the industrial-sized cannabis production setups are linked to organized crime gangs who are making big money on the back of others suffering as they pledged to stamp out the crime. Officers said they have found people who have been trafficked illegally to tend the crop, living in squalid conditions in the drugs dens, while children or vulnerable people are used to deal drugs or move them across the country. They are exposed to risk of serious harm, notably from rival gangs intent on stealing the drugs or disrupting the business. Armed robberies are common at cannabis farms and often leave people seriously injured or dead, such as in the Briley Hill raid where two people were killed with a crossbow. The force also issued a warning about the danger of bypassing power supplies, a common tactic for supplying the electricity needed at cannabis factories, where dangerous wiring can be a serious fire hazard and lead to the setup going up in flames. Anyone who suspects a property is being used to deal or produce drugs is asked to contact police or Crime Stoppers.
There are no immediate plans to close any of the region's flagship COVID vaccination sites, health bosses say. Health chiefs in Birmingham and the Black Country say they are keeping an eye on capacity and demand and have confirmed that sites will stay open in the immediate future. However, they say there may be changes to operations at some sites at a later date. It comes as some mass vaccination centres in other parts of the UK are being wound down. Latest NHS England figures show 2.43 million COVID vaccines had been given to patients in the Black Country and West Birmingham by the end of last Sunday. Sally Roberts, Chief Nursing Officer for Black Country and West Birmingham Clinical Commissioning Group, said huge efforts had been made across the region over the past year to ensure as many people as possible could get vaccinated. "It remains crucial that we offer a range of sites for vaccination, and there are no immediate plans to close any of our flagship vaccination sites," she said. "However, as the vaccination programme progresses, we will continue to keep an eye on capacity and demand, which means some sites may change at a later date. It's important to remember that COVID-19 hasn't gone away, and we still have lots of vulnerable people in our communities. The vaccine remains our best protection against the virus, so whether you are due a first, second or booster dose, please come forward as soon as possible. Jab cabs, free taxi services, are also taking people to vaccine appointments in Birmingham, where take-up has been lower than in some other areas."
An important legal victory has been won at the Court of Appeal in the battle against street racers plaguing the region. The outcome of the hearing paves the way for Wolverhampton Council to apply for the reintroduction of a groundbreaking injunction banning street racing in the Black Country. Between 2014 and 2018, the council was granted a series of injunctions by the High Court preventing people from participating in street racing in the Black Country and from establishing unauthorised encampments at various sites in Wolverhampton. The injunctions were served against persons unknown, meaning they applied not only to people already known to the council and its partners, but to newcomers who were planning to take part in street racing or set up an unauthorised encampment. A number of similar injunctions have also been introduced across the country. An application for the renewal of the Black Country-wide street racing injunction was due to be heard by the High Court last May, but was adjourned because of a separate High Court hearing into other injunctions against persons unknown. The High Court subsequently ruled that full injunctions could not be issued against newcomers. The Council, along with 14 other local authorities, appeal to the Court of Appeal last month to challenge the decision. It held unanimously that the High Court ruling was wrong, citing previously established case law, which held that a newcomer who knowingly violated the terms of an injunction automatically became a party to that injunction by their act. Councillor Jasbir Jaspal, Wolverhampton Council's Cabinet Member for Public Health and Wellbeing, said, "Injunctions are needed to prevent the nuisance, misery, and in some cases, danger caused by issues such as street racing, unauthorised encampments, illegal raves, and breaches of planning control." The High Court ruling of 2021 temporarily removed a very potent weapon from our arsenal to the detriment of the citizens we serve, and that is why we so vehemently fought this case in the Court of Appeal.
Bringing a premier hotel to Wolverhampton as part of the city's £55 million West Side development has been branded a number one priority by council chiefs. Wolverhampton Council said the move was progressing with the hotel identified for the junction of Ring Road, St Mark's and School Street as part of the project, and the authority has insisted that the delayed major development, which will see shops, restaurants, leisure activities and a multiplex cinema take over land around Salop Street, is progressing but has been rephased. Councillor Stephen Simpkins, Deputy Leader and Cabinet Member for City Economy, said given the unprecedented economic impact of the pandemic, especially on the leisure market, the West Side development has been rephased. Our number one priority is to bring in a premier hotel brand to boost the city's offer. Procurement for a hotel at the junction of Ring Road, St Mark's and School Street is progressing, with due diligence well underway, and the council remains committed to regenerating this area of the city. This will complement the reopening of the civic halls and support our five-year strategy to make Wolverhampton an event city. We are also continuing positive negotiations with leisure operators, and as far as all of our major capital projects, we will of course ensure any developments will make financial sense and are in the best interest of the people of Wolverhampton. The scheme had previously been dubbed the West Side Link and had been put forward to better connect the city centre to the West Side development when it opens. Work was due to start last summer on West Side, but it has been put on hold due to COVID. It led to fears the scheme could become the next Summer Row, a major retail development in the city that was scrapped in 2011 in the wake of the financial crisis.
Now it's time to hand over to Helen, who has for us this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from the Beacon Centre. Well, another week has passed and that means I'm back with your latest update from everything that's been happening with the charity. First this week, who doesn't love a hug? Well, it's recently been National Hug Day and we'd love to give you all a big squeeze to say thank you for your incredible support these past 2 years during the pandemic. If you'd like to send us a virtual hug back, you can text HUG, that's the word HUG, to 70085 to donate £3. Texts cost £3 plus one standard rate message. Who would you like to give a hug to? Now, have you done something today that you can feel proud of tomorrow? Well, thanks to funding from our Active Black Countries Tackling Inequalities Fund, we've been able to help people with sight loss and other conditions get moving again after spending more time at home during the pandemic. We've so far delivered more than 170 activity sessions and we're so proud of all our participants who've stepped out of their comfort zone to try something new. To find out how we could help you, you can call 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. That's inquiries@beaconvision.org. Next, we wanted to tell you a bit about our lifestyle department. Recently, an incredible 100% of people we asked told us that Beacon empowered them to be more confident and independent in a survey of our lifestyle members. How amazing is that? We're so pleased as that's what we're all about really, helping people to make the most of life. One of our members told us, "I really like coming to Beacon and joining in the activities, particularly the allotments during the warmer months." Again, if you'd like to find out how we could help you or someone you love, just get in touch. You can call 01902 880111 Monday to Friday or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Now, our Stourbridge members are looking forward to spring after helping to create some beautiful dresses made entirely from, wait for it, paper. They got involved in the entire process, helping to design the outfits and roll the paper for all parts of the dresses, including the flowers. The finished creations were pink and yellow vintage style dresses with some beautiful paper flowers at the front. How amazing! To find out more about our wellbeing sessions or anything that I've talked to you about today, as I say, just give us a call. In case you need it again, the number is 01902 880111 and the email inquiries@beaconvision.org. That's it for this week. I'll be back to catch up with you all again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for that, Helen. Up next, we have another block of local news. And first up, we have Ian.
A hospitality suite at Molyneux has been left with major damage after a fire broke out at the stadium in the early hours of Sunday morning. Around 20 firefighters were sent to the Wolves ground when the blaze started in the Sir Jack Haywood suite in the Billy Ride stand just before 2 a.m. on Sunday. It is believed to have been started accidentally by an electrical appliance. Firefighters were alerted by security staff at the stadium when the alarm started going off and contained the flames to one suite which overlooks the pitch. Nobody was injured and the bar area was empty at the time. Wolves have now said the damage caused by the blaze is likely to take some time to repair and that hospitality ticket holders affected will be contacted ahead of the next home fixture against Norwich in the FA Cup. Video footage showed smoke tinged gold by the lights pouring out of the football stadium on Waterloo Road for around 2 hours as an automated PA message asked people to leave the area. Andy Howard, watch manager at Wolverhampton Fire Station, said there's been a fire in the bar area. It was contained to the room of origin, but the bar area and part of the workspace was involved in fire. Otherwise, it was just smoke damage to the rest of the floor. A West Midlands Fire Service spokesman said they were called at 1:56 a.m. and the first crew arrived at the scene in 5 minutes. Crews from Wolverhampton, Fallings Park, Willenhall and Bilston were all sent to the football ground on Waterloo Road, where the nearby street was cordoned off. Police officers were also called to the scene, but paramedics were not needed.
An MP has raised concerns with council chiefs over potholes and poor road conditions, which are posing an unnecessary risk to people on an estate. Mark O'Longhi, MP for Dudley North, visited the Foxshires estate in the borough and examined the state of the roads before calling on the council to act. He said, "It was disappointing to see the road conditions on the Foxshires estate. They do pose unnecessary risks to both drivers and pedestrians, which could cause people injuries and damage to vehicles. I'm pleased to see a commitment from Dudley Council to invest £1 million on improving local roads and fixing potholes. I visited the estate again and was pleased to see that work has started on Burnham Close and I hope they will extend road repairs to the junction of Foxshards Road and Silverthorne Avenue. Dudley Council is run by Conservatives, the same party that Mr Longhi represents."
Animal welfare campaigners have slammed the region's councils after claiming the West Midlands Pension Fund is the largest UK local authority investor in meat. The fund is accused of investing more than £35 million in livestock companies, including JBS, Tyson and WH Group, three of the largest factory farming organisations in the world. Tyson Foods slaughters 22,000 cattle, 70,000 pigs and 7.8 million chickens a day, according to a study published last year by political foundation Heinrich Boll Stiftung, Friends of the Earth Europe and Bund. JBS is the world's largest meat producer and was linked to 100,711 acres of deforestation in the 2 years since March 2019, according to MightyEarth.org's Soy and Cattle Deforestation Tracker. The West Midlands Pension Fund has also invested in dairy company Inner Mongolia Yili Group, which has been categorised as high risk including in relation to animal welfare, by the Collar Fair Protein Producer Index. The research has been carried out by non-governmental organisations, Feedback and World Animal Protection. The team analysed data from Freedom of Information requests carried out by the Bureau of Investigative Journalism in 2020. Lindsay Duncan, World Animal Protection Farming Campaigns Manager, said, "The reason that intensive farming is known as factory farming is because that is precisely how it operates. Huge numbers of individual animals, each capable of feeling pain and suffering, are processed through systems designed to maximise efficiency and profit, operating at the expense of their welfare needs, denying their natural behaviours and trapping them in terrible conditions from birth until death." A spokesperson for West Midlands Pension Fund said the figures quoted have been queried as they do not appear to align with our position, but it said it intended to bring about change at companies through risk monitoring and engagement rather than divestment.
A last-ditch attempt to save Dudley Hippodrome from being torn down to make way for a new university campus has been unsuccessful. Dudley Council ruled last year the Art Deco Theatre and adjacent land and buildings in Castle Hill would be demolished. Campaigners were left with some hope it could be saved, as the proposals were subject to a call-in by Government Minister Michael Gove. But Mr Gove, who heads up the Department for Levelling Up, Housing and Communities, declined to intervene and overturn the decision. And now a final attempt to save Dudley Hippodrome by having the building listed has been denied, meaning the fate of the site has been sealed. Claire Appleby, an architecture advisor at the Theatres Trust, said, "The Theatres Trust is disappointed by the news that the application by the Friends of Dudley Hippodrome to have the building listed has been unsuccessful. This was the last real hope of providing protection for the building, which has been approved for demolition. Sadly, it looks like we've come to the end of the road in our attempts to save Theatre at Risk Dudley Hippodrome." Residents had called for the site to be kept for leisure or tourism use and voiced concerns the controversial plans were not befitting of an important gateway to the town, especially as Dudley is bidding to become a city. The Duchess of Beaufort and the Earl of Dudley, whose ancestors donated the land on which the Hippodrome was built, both waded in to launch their objections and said the proposed university campus building was of no architectural merit. However, council chiefs have repeatedly insisted all realistic options had been exhausted and the building had been subject to vandalism over the years. Councillor Simon Phipps, Cabinet Member for Regeneration and Enterprise, described it as a long drawn out process, but they owed it to the people of Dudley and the students of the future to get this done after the news the government would not intervene.
Plans to merge Walsall and Wolverhampton's hospital's urology departments have been hit with delays due to COVID. Walsall Hospital's NHS Trust Interim Chief Executive David Lawton said the proposal, aimed at slashing huge waiting times, would now not be implemented until the new financial year. He said staff sickness caused by the pandemic, as well as issues with building work required at Wolverhampton, meant it was not the right time to forge ahead with the plans. When the merge takes place, teams at New Cross and Walsall Manor Hospitals will come together to form a team of 14 consultants and 10 specialist nurses. Under the proposal, emergency cases and some elective inpatient care from both areas will be carried out at Wolverhampton's New Cross. But daycare cases for lesser conditions will move to Walsall Manor instead of being treated in Wolverhampton or Cannock, as has been the case for years. NHS bosses in Wolverhampton said it is believed this will help free up capacity at New Cross and cut the number of people waiting for services. It had been hoped to send all emergency urological cases to Wolverhampton last month, with elective inpatient procedures following in April this year. The less urgent cases would also have transferred to Walsall in April. But Mr Lawton told Walsall Council Social Care and Health Scrutiny Committee, "With the pandemic, we have had delays in implementing our proposals, and it will not now take place until the first quarter of the new financial year. It is complex issues in terms of the building work that is required to make it happen that has been delayed. In terms of staffing and sickness generally caused by the pandemic, it is not the right time to get on and implement it."
It's time next to give our brains a workout, as we have Mina with this week's quiz questions.
Hello and welcome to this week's Flashback Quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. What year was the penny black stamp introduced? Question 2. Where was the Royal Mail's own underground railway? Question 3. How did Royal Mail combat its mouse problem? Question 4. How many postcards were delivered per day in the heyday of Royal Mail? Question 5. What colour rubber bands do Royal Mails use? And finally, question 6. Apart from our Queen, whose head appears on one of our stamps? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show, but for now, good luck!
Thank you for those questions, Mina. Up next, we have another block of local news. And starting this one off, we hear first from Angela.
A Caribbean restaurant has been left severely damaged after a blaze which is thought to have been caused by an electrical device overheating. The fire broke out on the ground floor of the Smoke and Grill restaurant and takeaway in Bilston at around 11:30 p.m. last Friday evening. Around 20 firefighters were sent to the scene on Vulcan Road and had to use a steel saw to cut through a shutter door and get into the building. It is believed the fire may have been caused by an electrical device left on in the office area. Smoke from the blaze spread to the shop next door and the flats above the restaurant, with two men safely evacuated from the flats before fire crews arrived. Nobody is thought to have been hurt, and fans were used to ventilate the building. A spokesman for West Midlands Fire Service said, "We were called to the Smoke and Grill on Vulcan Road, Bilston at 11:27 p.m. Crews from Bilston, Wensbury, Willenhall and Tipton stations were in attendance. The incidents involved a severe fire on the ground floor of a two-storey bar and restaurant. It is believed to have been caused by an electrical device left on in the office area. Smoke had spread to an adjacent shop and the flat above. A total of 10 breathing apparatus and 2 hose reel jets and covering jets were used. A positive pressure fan was in use to ventilate different parts of the building. We used a steel saw to gain access through the shutter doors. 2 men were evacuated from the flats prior to arrival with no injuries. We revisited this morning to inspect for hotspots and have closed the incident."
An Albrighton shopkeeper is closing after 18 years on the village's high street. Opened in 2004, Julie's High Street Stores has been much more than a shop to many Albrighton residents who got to know owner Julie Bedis as a friend over the years. Julie said that in 18 years the shop has become a bit of a social hub for people who just wanted a chat or someone who would listen to them while they shopped. "A lot of people would come in for a chat, tell me how they're feeling, and I think they just needed that reassurance that I was there and listening," she said. "The shop was a real community hub for me. It's also the fact people would come in and they would know that if they asked me for something, I would say I could usually get it for them and they didn't need to worry. The shop has changed many times over the years, from predominantly a sweet shop to even selling crafting equipment." Julie said closing was a matter of timing and she has come to terms with it and is hopeful for the future. "I just feel the time is right to close. and I would love to actually start another venture. I don't know what yet, but I can feel I want to do something," she said. "I have enjoyed every minute of the shop and enjoyed that people have let me be part of their lives. I've watched babies grow up and been sad when people have passed away. And I've also actually seen how much the village has changed over the years. I also watched more and more people do online shopping, and people sometimes forget that has an effect on the high street. The high street in Albrighton has changed a lot, and I don't think people support the high street as much as they could do here."
Police have been granted the power to ban suspects from parts of Gornal for the weekend after a rise in drug dealing and crime. Officers have been given dispersal powers from 4 p.m. on Friday until 4 p.m. on Sunday. The powers allow any PC or PCSO to order people to stay out of a specified area for up to 48 hours if they believe they've taken part in or are likely to contribute to antisocial behaviour, disorder or crime. The powers have been granted for areas around the arcade on Kent Street and Abbey Street Park. A spokesman for Dudley Police said, "We're worried about a rise in crime, drug dealing and antisocial behaviour in Gornal. We know that local people are worried too, and it's causing some people to feel intimidated. The neighbourhood team will be using dispersal powers from 4 p.m. Friday to 3:59 p.m. on Sunday. Dispersal orders give us temporary additional powers and mean officers can order anyone to leave the area whose behaviour is likely to cause alarm, harassment or distress. The dispersal order forms part of our ongoing efforts to make Gornal a better, safer place to live and work. We will continue to work with local businesses and our partners for longer term solutions after the dispersal order comes to an end. If you know who's causing the problems in the area and if you want to see the problems end, use the live chat service on our website west-midlands.police.uk or call 101. To remain 100% anonymous, call Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. Tell them what you know, not who you are.
Residents thought they were losing the plot when they spotted footballing legend Rio Ferdinand at a Black Country chip shop. The former Manchester United, Leeds and England defender was spotted at Tasty Place on High Street, Sedgley last Thursday evening. Residents have been speculating just what one of the most decorated English footballers of all time was doing there. Leanne Hickman, who works locally, said, "I definitely did see him as I turned to leave. I was just there to get my pizza and couldn't believe it when I saw him. I thought I was losing the plot, but there he was. I have no idea what he was doing there." His appearance caused a stir on social media after one onlooker shared a photo of Rio's spontaneous appearance, which has amassed more than 140 comments. One commenter joked, "Is he here to turn the Christmas lights on?" Tasty Place is well known for the Black Country orange chips, something which one resident speculated may be the reason behind the visit. Another commenter joked, "He will be raving in Monty's tonight, a well-known bar in Sedgley." Ferdinand made more than 500 appearances across his career, including 312 for Manchester United, and is now a television pundit for BT Sport. He also amassed 81 England caps and is regarded by many as one of England's greatest ever players.
Dudley is set to lose another high street name after it was announced the New Look store in the town centre will be closed for good next month. The branch on the high street will shut on the 6th of February, with the nearest store for shoppers being in the Maryhill Shopping Centre in Briley Hill. It marks the latest blow for the town, which saw River Island close its doors in March 2020 when the pandemic broke out, and not reopen. A post on social media said, "Dudley, this isn't goodbye. Our store will be closing on the 6th of February, but you can still shop your fave styles in our Maryhill local store or online." The post shared a picture of the brand saying that they were never far away, despite the shop closure, as they encouraged residents to shop at another branch or via their website.
Now we have an informative piece from Mina all about mental health well-being.
Mental We all have mental health and our mental well-being can fluctuate day to day. When you're not feeling great, it can feel harder to take action to benefit your well-being. However, there are small steps we can take in our everyday lives to look after our mental well-being. According to the British Medical Association, research has shown that there are many benefits of taking action to support your well-being, such as greater self-confidence and control, improved quality of life, healthier behaviours, better understanding of your own health. But what can you do if you don't have a lot of time? Well, in 5 minutes you could make a cup of tea and enjoy it undisturbed, cuddle a pet or a soft toy, write a to-do list, or even text a friend. In 10 minutes you could try guided meditation, take a walk, do a quick tidy and clean up of your room, workspace, listen to your favourite songs. Or in 30 minutes you could try taking some exercise yoga, a run, a brisk walk, call a friend or family member for a catch up, or even have a nap. Taking the time to look after your mental health well-being can be a challenge, but doing so could greatly improve your health and outlook. Be sure to know that taking small steps can lead you in the right direction in improving your mental health.
Now we have our final block of local news. And starting this one off, we first hear the voice of Christine.
Bouquets of flowers are bringing not just happiness, but are also helping to raise money for good causes in the community. From stocking up the shelves of a local food bank, to funding the purchase of a defibrillator for St John's Ambulance, Flowercraft in Wolverhampton has been supporting a wide range of charitable organisations. Since May 2020, they have been donating £1 from every flower order over £30 made online or over the phone to charity and local good causes in Wolverhampton. It all started when florist Nicola Daly, who owns the shop in Chapel Ash with her mother Julie, decided to run the Birmingham Half Marathon in aid of Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation after her stepfather, Barry John, died from complications caused by diabetes. The 57-year-old, who had become a granddad to Nicola's daughter Millie just before lockdown, had previously worked as a postman with Royal Mail, a steward at the Molyneux, and a taxi driver. Nicola wanted to do something in his memory and raise funds for the charity, so began training for the half marathon in May 2020. Unfortunately, due to COVID restrictions, the half marathon wasn't able to go ahead in Birmingham that year, and the 2021 event was also cancelled. Entries have been rolled over to this year, scheduled for May. On the day, Nicola had been due to take her place on the starting line for the Great Birmingham Run in October 2020. She was joined by Julie and Millie, now almost two, for a 13.1-mile walk around Wolverhampton. In the end, she raised a total of £773 for the charity, which funds diabetes research in the UK and around the world in order to understand the causes, prevention, treatment and management. Flowercraft's Charity Pounds scheme started gathering pace, and other causes that benefited in 2020 were Shells Knits and Bits, who knit hats for premature babies at local hospitals, and the Well Food Bank.
A hospice in the Black Country has been handed funding to roll out a project to make a real difference to homeless people and other vulnerable people. The Mary Stevens Hospice, based in Stourbridge, will set up the project across the Dudley Borough with support services and other organisations. The service aims to identify and support people who require palliative and end-of-life care, increase access to care, facilitate advanced care planning opportunities and bereavement support, whilst providing a key education programme for staff who work with people experiencing homelessness. Direct care, social support and signposting will be provided through community drop-in sessions in collaboration with the Pathway team. The new service forms part of a wider pathway being developed in the borough, led by Dr. Lloyd Barron and in partnership with Dudley Integrated Healthcare. Dr. Barron, clinical lead for the Homeless Health Pathway, said, "I'm absolutely thrilled to be collaborating on this project with the Mary Stevens Hospice on behalf of DIHC. End-of-life care, support and education is such an important part of the journey for patients and for staff delivering that care. I'm confident that we can make a positive difference across Dudley." The pilot service has been developed by Claire Towns and Gemma Allen, the Palliative Care Inclusion and Community Partnerships lead. Ms. Towns, CEO and matron at the Mary Stevens Hospice, said, "As a hospice service, we want to reach out, listen and work with communities who we know do not access equitable care. This forms part of our strategic aim, including working with partners to better support people in Dudley who have palliative and end-of-life care needs."
A lighter and brighter new look cafe at Wolverhampton Art Gallery has been unveiled just in time to welcome visitors to a national art show. The Glaze Cafe at the gallery on Lichfield Street has opened to coincide with the start of the British Art Show 9, which is expected to attract 50,000 people to the city during the event that runs until the 10th of April. The new ground floor cafe overlooking the St Peter's Church Gardens replaces the old upstairs one with Cannock-based firm Croft Building and Conservation Limited carrying out the works. The £1.5 million Phase 2 works have been funded by Arts Council England grants and existing capital funding from Wolverhampton Council. Phase 1 of the gallery improvements included the Sensig sculpture room on the first floor being transformed into an exhibition space that has enabled the gallery to host larger touring exhibitions such as the National History Museum's Wildlife Photographer of the Year. The new cafe, decorated with pieces from the gallery's pop art collection, features a wide drinks menu, including 8 types of tea and a varied food menu, which includes an all-day breakfast, soups, sandwiches, samosas, jacket potatoes and a full child's menu. Councillor Stephen Simpkins, Wolverhampton Council Deputy Leader and Cabinet Member for City Economy, was in attendance at the launch and said the new cafe was part of the work by the council to turn the city into a visitor economy. He said this new cafe is a part of plans for our city and we want more people to come and see things like the British Art Show 9, which will bring in around 50,000 visitors and is good for the economy. "It's pleasing to me to see the end product here, as it used to be very dark and gloomy, and now even in the lightest and cruelest winter we've had in years, it is filled with natural light and lends itself well to the artists."
A woman who survived the Holocaust is set to give a special talk on her life at Dudley's annual commemoration later this month. The annual commemoration on January the 28th, usually attended by hundreds, will take place online again this year due to COVID-19. It will see Janine Webber, BEM, who survived by moving between hiding places in occupied Poland, tell her story to raise awareness. Mrs. Webber witnessed Nazis seizing and murdering other members of her family. She moved to the UK in 1956, where she met her husband and was awarded the British Empire Medal in 2017 for services to Holocaust education. Organising committee member Kieran Casey said, "We are very grateful to Janine Webber for agreeing to take part. It's amazing that Holocaust survivors spend their time teaching people where hatred and prejudice can lead. Hundreds of local people usually come to these events. They really help bring people together and build a stronger community. So we were determined not to be prevented by the pandemic, and we have made it as easy as possible for anyone to join us." The commemoration has been organised by Dudley College Students' Union, the Holocaust Educational Trust, and a small group of volunteers, including Kieran Casey and Lord Ian Austin of Dudley. The talk will take place at noon on January the 28th. To view the commemoration, visit bit.ly/Holocaust Memorial 22.
A city LGBT plus charity is looking to get more people out exploring the outdoors through a walking group. Wolverhampton LGBT plus has launched the Stride with Pride walking group to help encourage members of the community to come together and enjoy a walk in the open air. The group is part of efforts by the charity, which has 30 member organisations involved, to help make Wolverhampton a truly inclusive city which welcomes all. The walks are designed for people of all ages and stamina levels and will visit some of the most recognisable green spaces in the region, including West Park, Penn Common and Bantock Park. Wolverhampton LGBT plus trustee Lucy Palin said, "Stride with Pride is a great way for members of the LGBT plus community to get some normality back in their lives after a devastating couple of years due to COVID. Working from home, lockdowns and all other restrictions has really affected people's mental and physical health. Our walks will offer members the chance to stay active, make new friends and have fun while doing it. There is no sign-up or membership fee, and all walks will meet at 10:45 a.m. for an 11 a.m. start, with the next three walks taking place on February 20th, March 20th and April 3rd. To take part in the walks and for more information, go to facebook.com/groups/stridewithpride, call 07989 411 148 or email info@wolverhamptonlgbt.org.
Now it's time to hear from our ever knowledgeable Flashback Roger for another Did You Know feature.
Hello everyone. Here I am again with some little-known quips about things in our everyday lives. And this week I've been taking a peep into our national institution, the Royal Mail. So off we go. Now, did you know that? Our daily postal service called the Royal Mail. It's called that because when King James I introduced it, it was for the exclusive use of the royal letters between London and Edinburgh. His son, Charles I, made it available to the public in 1635, and back then it was the recipient of the letter who paid, not the sender. That continued to be the case until 1840, when Sir Rowland Hill of Kidderminster introduced the penny black stamp which the sender had to purchase. From 1927 to 2003, the Royal Mail in London had its own underground rail system, dubbed the Mail Rail. The line ran from the Paddington Head Sorting Office to the Eastern Head of District Sorting Office in Whitechapel. It operated 19 hours a day for 286 days a year and carried around 4 million letters a day. In the 19th century, postal carriers used cloth sacks to deliver the mail, but mice quite fancied the cloth sacks and would chew holes in them. So in 1868, the Royal Mail started employing cats to fix their mouse problem and paid each cat a nominal wage per week. The last Royal Mail cat named Blackie died in 1984. Now, though, they use plastic bags and that solves the mouse problem. At one point, mail was delivered 7 times a day and people sent 2 million postcards every day. The frequency of delivery made the postal service timing as close to email as the turn of the century got. A postcard sent in the morning could travel so fast it could be delivered by the afternoon. The Royal Mail uses 342 million rubber bands every year to bundle up letters and packages. They use red rubber bands so the letters can be more easily spotted. Incidentally, if any red bands are found dropped in the street or on your drive, then they can be just popped into any postbox to be collected and reused. And having one's head featured on a stamp was usually a position reserved for the monarchy. And the first commoner to feature on a stamp was that of William Shakespeare in 1964. The stamp was released to commemorate the 400th anniversary of the famous writer's birth. Well then, there we have it. A little glimpse into the national institution of our postal service. And I can't go without mentioning Postman Pat and his cat Jess. The little characters were actually sponsored by Royal Mail until 2000, when they decided that it didn't suit their image anymore. Ah well, I'll go and check to see if I had a win on the premium bonds. I do live in hope, I do. Anyway, so till next week, I'll say bye for now. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra.
Now we have our sportsman, Ian, giving you all the latest football news from Wolves and West Bromwich Albion.
Hello, I'm Ian, and here's your latest football news. A bizarre afternoon in West London saw several stoppages, including a drone flying overhead and an overturned red card as Wolves battled to a 2-1 win over Brentford. Wolves' first ever visit to the Brentford Community Stadium was an eventful one, as the stoppage came when Rico Henry and Matthias Jensen had a nasty clash of heads. Then, after 30 minutes, a drone was remarkably spotted flying over the stadium, and the players were forced to return to the dressing room for what resulted in a 19-minute delay. A disjointed first half finally came to an end before the second was then delayed due to a problem with the referee Peter Banks's communication equipment. But the game sparked into life shortly after when João Moutinho fired Wolves into the lead. Moutinho picked up the ball, played a delightful 1-2 pass with Semedo, and the midfielder then fired the ball home in front of a packed away end. Youngster Gomez was then handed a straight red card for a tackle on Adjaye, but after VAR intervened and the referee checked the pitch side monitor, it was overturned and rightly changed to a yellow card. But from the resulting free kick, Brentford equalised. Tony was found unmarked at the back post and he volleyed first time into the far bottom corner. 8 minutes later, Ruben Neves curled home a beauty to eventually hand Wolves all 3 points on one of the strangest afternoons of football you will ever see. After the final whistle, Brentford boss Frank stormed onto the pitch and began targeting Wolves players and the officials before being handed a red card. Albion left it late but ultimately secured a deserved win over Peterborough. On a day when the club marked the 20th anniversary of the death of icon Jeff Astle, goals from Cedric Kipre, Carlan Grant and Grady Diangana secured a vital win for Valerian Ismail's side. The scoreline, though, doesn't quite tell the story of the game, with the visitors sitting in a low block and showing next to no ambition right from the very first whistle. Darren Ferguson's side came with a game plan to frustrate and time waste in the hope of pinching a point, and they almost did it, with Kipre finally opening the scoring in the 78th minute. From there, the floodgates opened. Robinson sent a ball over the top with Grant carried into the box before firing past Bender in the visitors' goal. Albion then added some icing on the cake with the third, thanks to a brilliant strike from Diangana. And that, overall, was no more than Ismail's side deserved, with the Baggies now just 4 points behind second-place Bournemouth following their loss to Hull. Speaking after the game, Ismail said, "Until the first goal, it was the story of the season so far. But as always with a good story, there was a happy ending. Hopefully we can now take the next step on Wednesday." The game was how we expected. The opponent came, didn't want to play, wasted time and tried to take time from the clock. They didn't shoot once on target. You have to stay calm to stay patient. The Baggies next take on Preston North End at the Hawthorns as we go to air this Wednesday. Following that, they have a trip to London as they take on Millwall on Saturday.
Up next, we have 10 Today. 10 Today is a series of 10-minute exercise sessions that can be done at home by anyone. New episodes will appear fortnightly.
Hello everyone, this is 10 Today, a 10-minute set of exercises to do at home to help keep yourself active. Before we get to today's presenter, a couple of housekeeping points to note. The 10 Today project is funded by the Big Lottery and Sport England, and when you're doing the exercises, it's important that you don't push yourself too far, and by taking part, you agree to 10 Today's terms and conditions. You can read these terms and conditions at tnflink.uk/10T, and the 10T is the digit 1, the digit 0, and the letter T. And please remember that you agree to take part at your own risk. Today's exercises are brought to you by Jean, and here she is.
Hello, everyone. This is a short 10-minute physical activity routine which will get you moving and stretching. It's great for your health, including improving your balance and building up your strength. Just take it at your own pace. There are plenty of options. If an exercise feels too much, just take it easy and have a break. All the exercises can be done either standing up or sitting down, so just do whatever feels good for you today. We want you all to do this exercise safely. You are responsible for monitoring how you are feeling throughout the session. If you feel any discomfort or pain, for example, if you feel unwell or dizzy or experience palpitations, then please stop and seek medical advice. If remaining seated, at least to begin with, it would be ideal if you can use a hard chair so you can sit upright. This could be a dining chair, preferably without arms, which can get in the way of some exercises. Then with your feet flat on the floor. Okay, if you're standing up, just step your feet hip-width apart, relax your shoulders and stand up nice and tall, and take a couple of deep breaths. If you're sitting down, place both feet firmly on the floor. Keep your back straight, relax your shoulders, and take a couple of deep breaths. In and out. In and out. So the first exercise is called Reach for the Stars. So raise both your arms up to the sky, or stars. When at the top, rise on your toes and then lower both your feet and arms, pushing right down with your palms. So keep going, raising your hands up, then up on your toes, then lower your hands and feet. And keep going, feeling that nice stretch through the upper body and shoulders. So just a couple more now. Next, strike of the cobra, a wee bit of martial arts. So with a strong stance, with your fists clenched in front of your chest, as if you were a boxer, punch your right hand straight out and return. Then with the same hand, punch it to the left side so that your arm crosses your body and reaches towards the ceiling. So you're punching up and across and return. Now with your left hand, punch straight out and return, then punch to the right side so that your arm crosses your body, reaching for that ceiling again. Try not to worry with the logistics on this one. Just energetic punching is good. Keep going now with alternate hands at your own pace. So punching straight, then to the side, pointing up to the ceiling. This is great for strengthening those arms. We should all be feeling nice and warm now. Now we have the side stretch. Raise your right arm high straight up with your palm facing up, then lean over to your left side, feeling that stretch all along your right side. Now return back to the center. Raise your left hand straight up and feel that stretch all the way down your left side. Now keep alternating, feeling that nice stretch down your sides. So, arm up and lean over and repeat. Great work. Well done. Next, we have swing back. If you're standing, keep your legs straight. If you're sitting, keep your feet flat on the floor. Bend your arms so that both hands are at chest height, then straighten out your right arm and swing it back so you feel a nice rotation in your back. Looking towards your right hand, then return to the center and straighten out your left arm and swing it back, looking towards your left hand. And repeat. So you're just moving side to side, swinging your arms back nice and gently, feeling your back rotate as you move side to side. Just a couple more now. This is a great one for trunk rotation. Next, if you're standing, you might want to be near something you can hold on to for balance. This one is a leg raise. If you're standing, lift your leg up to hip height, keeping your knee bent, and return. And if you're sitting, lift your leg slightly higher than hip height, and return. Now do the same with the other leg, lift up to hip height, and return. Now do the same with the other leg, lift up to hip height, and return. Now keep going on alternate legs, so just lifting those legs up. Next is Slowly Does It. These exercises are slightly different if you're sitting or standing. So, if you're standing, bend at your knees slightly to halfway and hold. And then bend your knees all the way down to your lowest point and hold. And then straighten up your legs again. So you're just moving halfway, holding, moving down to your lowest point, holding, and then coming back up. Keep your feet facing forward and try not to let your knees move in front of your toes. Keep going. If you are sitting, just straighten out your right leg right in front of you and hold briefly, feeling that nice stretch down your leg. Then return your foot to the floor and repeat on the other side. Whichever variation you're doing, you're working your legs. If you're standing, you're also working your bottom. Okay, so keep going. Always remembering to keep your back straight. So, for those standing, bend your knees halfway, hold, and then all the way down, and then up. If just sitting, raising alternate legs. Slow and controlled is more challenging and rewarding. Just a few more. Great work. Push up to the moon. So remember to keep a nice soft bend in your knees and a strong stance. Then bend your arms so both hands are at chest height. Then push both your hands up to the ceiling on your right, as if you're pushing up to the moon. Then sweep your hands back down and to the left, pushing both your hands up to the ceiling again on your left, and now keep going. So you're just making a nice big U with your hands, pushing up to the moon on either side. When you sweep your hands at the bottom of the U, you can bend over slightly to make that sweeping movement bigger. Keep going with that nice dynamic shape, pushing up to the moon on each side. So again, if you're standing, you might want to be near something for balance. This exercise is called Kick Across, and you're just kicking your leg across to the opposite side. So kick your right leg to the left side and return. And do the same on the other side. So now keep going, kicking that leg across from side to side. You should feel that working your legs, and slow and controlled is more challenging here. Keep going for a couple more. Good work. Next is Full Circle. Raise both arms straight up above your head, and then sweep them round together to the right, making one big circle all the way back up to the top. And keep going, swinging one big circle to the right, just a couple more in this direction. Good work. Now we're going to do exactly the same, but the opposite direction. So keep making those nice big circles. It's a great workout for your shoulders, this one. Just a few more now, one more, great job. Now we really should all be feeling warm. If you're a little out of breath, that's a good thing. It means you've been working. If you're not a little out of breath, can you work a little harder next time? Anyway, nearly finished. We'll just finish off with a nice stretch and cool down. So we're going to start with a hamstring stretch. So step forward with your right foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Then bend your left leg and put your hands on your hips and just lean forward gently. Whether you're sitting or standing, you should feel a nice stretch down the back of your leg. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well done. Then return to a standing up position and swap your legs. So this time, step forward with your left foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Then bend your right leg and just lean forward gently. Again, feeling that nice long stretch. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now the final stretch, hugging a tree. Just hold your arms out in front of you, just as if you were hugging a tree directly in front of you. And your arms form a nice circle in front of you. And then cup your hands, putting one hand in front of the other, and push your hands together, feeling that nice stretch across your shoulders and arms. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now sit up or stand up and return to that nice relaxed posture we had at the beginning. So, brilliant! That was all the exercises. We hope you enjoyed them. Just to finish off, shake it out. Just shake out those arms and hands and then legs and feet. Great work, everyone! Doing 10 today just 3 times a week can have great health benefits. It's fun and you'll simply feel better. So please do keep going. And thank you for listening.
Ooh, that was a workout and a half. Well, now we'll have a sit down and have a listen to the weather. Brought to us by Mina.
The weather for this week ahead looks to once again be very settled and cloudy, with temperatures hovering around 9 to 10 degrees. UV levels are expected to be low throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 7:50 a.m. for the sunrise and 4:56 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday 28th of January, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 9 degrees. On Saturday 29th of January, we have light cloud and light winds with a maximum temperature of 12 degrees. Moving on to Sunday 30th of January through to Tuesday 1st of February, we have light cloud and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 10 degrees. And finally, on Wednesday 2nd and Thursday 3rd of February, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 9 degrees. So that's your forecast for this week. As always, enjoy the weather.
Thank you for that update, Mina. Now we have an article from TNF all about visual impairments in the workplace.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Alice Dare with an update on a campaign that aims to get more visually impaired people into work. A new video from Thomas Pocklington Trust, TPT, features employers from BT, Wired Magazine, KPMG and Intelligent Energy, explaining why other organisations should be recruiting more blind and partially sighted people. The video, called Inclusive Employers, Good for Business, aims to break down barriers and myths about hiring blind and partially sighted people. Martin Sigsworth, Senior Employment Manager at TPT, said we hope this video changes perceptions around what blind and partially sighted people are capable of achieving in the workplace. It's so important that employers are educated about this. With the right assistive technology in place, blind and partially sighted people can perform jobs as well as their fully sighted colleagues. In the video, employers from a range of sectors discuss the benefits they've experienced from employing a diverse workforce, the adaptations that can be made, and support available to make those adjustments. employers hiring people with disabilities can receive support from the government's Access to Work grant. This grant doesn't need to be paid back and could pay for a range of different measures, such as support workers and specialist equipment. Martin added, having the voice of not only the employees but the employers is fundamental to changing the landscape. We want others to understand that adaptations can be straightforward and low cost. This video complements TPT's We Work videos, which shine a light on blind and partially sighted people working in a range of roles and sectors. The new video gives a voice to the employers from the organisations where the We Work stars are employed. Lauren Gurney, HR Director at Intelligent Energy, shares invaluable advice for other employers. If I was to give any advice to another organisation which was looking to bring in an employee who was blind or partially sighted, I would say, don't be fearful. Speak to the potential employee. Speak to the individual. Find out what it is they believe they'll need, and you'll see that it's very straightforward. You can find the TPT video, Inclusive Employers, Good for Business, on the Thomas Pocklington Trust website, https://tnflink, that is tnflink.uk/10y.
TNF Soundings.
Thanks for that, Alistair. Now we have the quiz answers, brought to us by Mina.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's postal-themed flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. What year was the penny black stamp introduced? And the answer? 1840. Question 2. Where was the Royal Mail's own underground railway? And the answer here is London. Question 3. How did Royal Mail combat its mouse problem? And the answer here is they employed cats. Question 4. How many postcards were delivered per day in heyday of Royal Mail? And the answer here is 2 million. Question 5. What colour rubber bands do Royal Mail use? And of course, it's red. Finally, question 6. Apart from our Queen, whose head appeared on one of our stamps? And the answer here is William Shakespeare. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of a tree frog. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we hear from Craig, who has for us some more facts about our region.
From lawn tennis, heavy metal music and automated traffic lights to inventing the pacemaker and microwave, the West Midlands has made its mark globally. The simple process of making the perfect cup of tea can be traced back to the West Midlands. The electric kettle and the Tyford Tea Bank were all created in the region. The West Midlands also started the ketchup versus brown sauce debate in 1899, and after HP sauce was invented, a debate was continued to this day. The region is both the birthplace of lawn tennis and rugby, from the birthplace of heavy metal and the ranking beats of two-tone, the region's art scenes created many music genres. Epic worlds and stories created by J.R. Tolkien and William Shakespeare sit on bookshelves alongside crime fiction enjoyed by millions around the world. Did you also know that Dudley's twin fought William in Scotland? While Wolverhampton is not formally twinned, but does have friendship links with a region in Nepal. And finally, did you know it was due to the efforts of women chamics in Crayveef who went on strike in 1910 that today we have the minimum wage? I'm Craig, I hope you enjoyed my facts about West Midlands and the Black Country.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn at beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!